Pot Radio Network is pleased to present Encounter, a public service program here on KSIV that spotlights local Christian events and provides information and resources to enrich your lives. And now, your Encounter host, Judy Redlich.
Why are so many young people depressed and suicidal today? Why don't people see victory in dealing with their mental health issues despite years of therapy? Maybe you're in one of those categories. Maybe you suffer from anxiety. Well, Kinza Haddock is my guest. She's a licensed professional counselor supervisor and an accredited clinical trauma specialist. And she works with both treating complex mental health issues through clinical and biblical perspectives. So please stay tuned. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. You will not be disappointed. Kinza, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Judy.
So Kinza, young people today seem so challenged in these areas, don't they?
Oh, yes, absolutely. So what's interesting, and to your point, there's a rise of depression. In fact, clinical depression is the second greatest diagnosis, clinical diagnosis in the United States by numbers. Number one is clinical anxiety. And so depression is big among especially teenagers, 20s, 30s. I mean, actually, when you look at the numbers, it's no respecter of age, but I do see it a lot in teenagers, people in their 20s. And I think some of that difference can come down to the fact that we no longer get together as much as we used to. And I don't know about you, Judy, but growing up, I remember like playing outside a lot. I mean, we didn't even have a video game.
I know we didn't. We played outside. We played Barbies under the porch. Yeah. You know, we rode bicycles. We played Red Rover. You know, all those kinds of things. Kinza, I remember that too.
Absolutely. I mean, even being in the car, we didn't have iPads to watch. We just counted trees. And so that alone, just those social interactions too, just getting together with friends and talking with people. If you think about going to a grocery store, if you look around, chances are half of the people who are around you are on their phones standing in line. Whereas back then, you know, 10, 20 years ago, standing in line at a grocery store, you're going to strike a conversation with someone. Yeah. And so all of that, the lack of social interaction, does inhibit certain chemicals in our brain that leads to depression. But that's just a part of it.
Well, so you think about social media and how kids might think social media is so great because they are having conversations with people all the time on social media, and your thoughts.
So here's the thing with social media. It's great. It's great to use it if you're just using it to keep in touch with family, friends who live far away. The issue is when we overindulge in social media, because as we pick up the phone and we are just constantly scrolling, there's a chemical in our body that releases. It's called dopamine. And that dopamine, minus the social interaction, then now we're lacking that serotonin that releases when I'm sitting there talking to you face to face, when I'm going out, hanging out with friends, when I'm having meaningful conversation. And so when you decrease the serotonin from that day-to-day social interaction and increase dopamine from just us scrolling, that leads to anxiety, that leads to depression. And that's just on a clinical perspective. Now, from a biblical perspective, Judy, what I have found is as I started seeing people, patients or consulting on cases, and you know, people who are diagnosed with clinical depression or clinical anxiety, I noticed that certain trends tend to appear. And one of those is very, very subtle. And that is, you would not believe the rise of New Age methodologies that the enemy really like throws at us that we don't realize are not biblical. For example, you know, a lot of people that I talk to don't think much of checking their horoscope, you know, once a week, once every 2 weeks. They don't understand that, hey, no, that's a practice of divination. And they're like, well, why? And you know, I've had those conversations with people. That's you placing faith in something other than the Lord Jesus Christ, especially if you're calling yourself a Christian. So the rise of New Age is a big culprit as well.
That's amazing. So let's talk about not only horoscopes, but Ouija boards and different things like that, especially around Halloween time, which is really right next to All Saints' Day. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, absolutely. And there are a lot of these practices that are out there, and sometimes they're even offered at a med spa, for example, or offered in a therapy office, or offered just out and about when, you know, at a craft show that we don't think much of. But those practices really open the door for the enemy in our lives. One that is pretty popular is called chakras, and that's basically a practice that really it's witchcraft. It's a practice that tells you that as long as you align, if you align yourself a certain way, it can connect you to quote unquote the divine. And who is this divine? It tells you that you can access the divine in your own power. And the only person who can get us to the throne room of God really is Jesus, according to John 14, right? And so that's what the enemy tries to do. He tries to replicate and distort the truth of God's word. There are other things like channeling that people do nowadays, and that is basically like closing your eyes and reaching your subconscious mind so that you can get answers to life's hardest questions. Well, my perspective on that is we're supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit, not by any other spirit. And so if we're being led by any other spirit, that's a false spirit. And so we have to be very careful. And so there are other things like, yeah, the Ouija board. Some people may think not, you know, may not think twice about it, but yeah, that is demonic. We're not supposed to seek answers from anything other than the Lord.
So, Kinza, when you think about mindfulness, I think of that kind of as a cultic thing. What do you think?
So, therapy borrowed the word mindfulness really from God's truth, and that God's truth, the Word of God tells us to meditate on God day and night, right? And on God's Word. The issue is they took that word, whoever started it, and twisted it into mindfulness as you calming your mind and not thinking about anything else. Well, if you tell somebody to not think about anything else or anything, they're going to think about something because our brain just doesn't shut
Our
off.
brains think, right? They don't shut up.
It would be very, very difficult. And so if we're talking about practicing meditation and meditating on the word of God, that's one thing. But if we're practicing meditation and just singing these words of affirmation to ourselves that are not congruent with scripture, then we're stepping outside of God's truth.
Kinza, so many people use the word mindfulness today. What are some of the flags when someone first comes to you with that opportunity to get some mindfulness coaching or counseling or study?
Well, here's the thing. We as believers are indwelled by the Holy Spirit of the living God. And so as long as we're walking in the truth and we're walking with the Lord and praying for discernment, something is going to feel off about someone coming up to us, especially if they're saying, hey, let me help you reach that peace. Because that's what mindfulness promises. It says, oh, let me help you reach a state of peace. I mean, think about just how twisted this whole thing is. The enemy, who is the author of confusion, creates chaos in people's lives, right? He gives them a divided mind. He creates chaos in people's minds and lives. And then he gives them the very person who attacks them comes back. And I mean, he's disguised as an angel of light. He comes back and offers a solution, a counterfeit solution to our problems. And so think of somebody who has been experiencing anxiety, has been experiencing panic attacks, has been experiencing, and they're so desperate, they feel like God is not listening to their prayers, they're going to fall into the hands of a counterfeit person who offers them peace. And so what I would say is one of the first things that we need to examine is ask ourselves, yes, are we in the Lord? Are we in the truth? Have we given our lives to Jesus? Because that's the first step. And after that, we want to ask ourselves, have we opened the door to the enemy any other way? You know, even if it's like mindfulness outside of meditating on God's word, we need to renounce that and we need to repent of it and ask the Lord to teach us, to guide us in his truth. And so to answer your question, if I have someone who may even have deceived themselves into believing that they're practicing, you know, mindfulness that is good for you, first of all, is that person a believer? And if they're not, we want to question their methodologies just to make sure that what they're doing is not going to open the door for the enemy in our lives. Because mindfulness for a non-Christian is basically closing your mind to all the noise outside and just allowing your consciousness to just be there. And we don't want to do that.
Kinza Haddock is my guest. Hey, Kinza, we're going to go to a break and we're going to talk more about how depression and suicide goes through, it sounds like, all age groups today and how people can get through some of these challenges that the enemy tries to purport. Will you join me?
Absolutely.
All right. So we'll be back right after this break with more of Encounter. I'm Judy Redlich.
If you've listened to me at any time at all, or you've been friends with me, you know that I love to help people tell their story. Another thing I enjoy doing is helping people find their highest potential. If you're in a life's rut and you just can't figure out how to get past your stuck place, a life coach like me could help. Let me walk with you through your journey of transition. I'm a Christian life coach, and to find out more about my coaching, go to my coaching page at judyredlich.com or email me at jredlichspeaks@gmail.com.
Kinza Haddock is my guest, and she wrote the book, Three Enemies of Your Mental Health, Gain Lasting Victory Over the Devil, the Flesh, and the World. We've been talking about some of the mind-boggling things that the devil tries to bring your way. We've been talking a little bit about why depression has increased over the years and suicidal tendencies. So, Kinza, talk a little bit about your book as we engage our listeners more in this interesting topic.
Yeah, absolutely. So as I started seeing patients for mental health and consulting on cases, I noticed that there was a trend, or at least there was a pattern that was emerging between patients who met the criteria for clinical depression or clinical anxiety. And that is, there are three enemies that the Bible even talks about that we have to overcome. And so the first one we talked about earlier, and that is the devil and how he tries to split our faith between Jesus and another object of our faith. Something that we need to be careful of is we have to pay attention to the way we talk to ourselves. This is so big. Like, think about how you talk to yourself. You know, for example, when you mess up, are you your biggest critic?
And because yes, you are absolutely correct.
Yes. And sometimes we think that by being my own biggest critic, then I'm helping myself to not make the next mistake. Well, no, because how is you beating yourself up essentially helping you? It's not. And so you want to encourage yourself. Yes, you want to discipline, you know, you want to be a disciplined person, but also give yourself grace. And I'll give you, for example, pay attention to how you talk to yourself. For example, do you, you know, look in the mirror and say, I'm ugly? You know, if you have that type of if you're in the habit of doing that, you want to counteract that using Genesis 1:26. I was made in the image of God. It may sound cheesy in the beginning, but there is power in the word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says that God's word is alive and active, and it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It has the capacity to pierce through the enemy's lies and uproot them and replace them with the truth. Another one that I see that is popular is when we tell ourselves, I'm not good enough. You have to remind yourself whenever that thought comes to mind, even if you say it out loud, it is written that I was chosen by God because out of his love for me, and that alone is enough. You have to remind yourself and encourage yourself. The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. You have to encourage yourself and just be in the habit of that. Another thing that I've noticed leads to that type of just depression in general is we have a hard time forgiving. I mean, look, it is not in our nature to want to forgive. It's in our nature to want to, you know, exact revenge or just seek judgment or et cetera, et cetera. And what I'm saying is, look, there's a reason the Lord tells us to forgive. I'm not talking about reconciliation. I'm talking about just forgiving the perpetrator. And here's how it usually happens. There's like a hurtful event, like an argument or a disagreement. And Judy, once that argument or disagreement is not processed through properly, it leads to unprocessed hurt, which leads to unforgiveness, whether that's toward yourself or toward others. Unforgiveness leads to depression and internal torment. Because, I mean, think about it. If you're upset with yourself and you're not giving yourself grace, then you're opening the door to self-condemning thoughts. Now you're saying, I'm a loser, I'm awful, I'm this, I'm that. And if you're showing unforgiveness towards someone else, then you have that unprocessed hurt. And now you're just recalling all of those memories that you had with that person and in a negative way.
And they keep surfacing in your mind because it's kind of like subconsciously you're thinking about that, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Now, we can go the wrong way about forgiveness. And I've seen this happen even in Christian communities where someone, for example, has been assaulted or really like has been deeply wounded. And someone says, well, you know what, without validating the hurt person, you know what, you just need to forgive and move on. And that's not what the Bible talks about. No, you know, the Bible is very clear that in, for example, in Psalm 62:8, it says, pour out your heart to God. He is our refuge. God wants you to pour out your heart to him. He wants you to come to him and say, Lord, this person hurt me. Yes, he knows about it, but you need to do that because that's how you develop a healthy relationship with God. Talk to him about it and ask him to help you to just pour that bitterness out and to give you peace about the situation and try it. And I put the instructions in the book on how to go about the situation.
And the book is The Three Enemies of Your Mental Health: Gain Lasting Victory Over the Devil, Flesh, and the World by Kinza Haddock. She is my guest today on Encounter. So, Kinza, this came to you with your own experience, didn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, so I grew up in an Islamic household. I didn't know Jesus. I didn't believe in Jesus. And so growing up, I thought I was here for a certain amount of time. And during my time here on earth, I needed to earn salvation. And in my life, I experienced trauma. I experienced things that were very hurtful. And all of that led to just me questioning what the reality was. Like, is Allah really God? Who truly is God? Like, why would God allow all of this? I mean, I had a crisis of faith. And through all of that, I had a dream that it was the end times. And in my dream, Judy, I saw, like, it was like the sky open and a man in a white robe coming down from the sky. And in my dream, that was Jesus. And I mean, he was coming down in authority, and it was incredible. And I wish I could tell you I gave my life to Jesus as soon as I woke up and it was great. But no, I mean, it took a while for me to research and understand that, you know what, Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the only way for me to gain that peace. And looking back, I'm grateful he reached out to me per se and pursued me, because yeah, I struggled. Anxiety was like my norm. I didn't know what life was with peace, and he is the Prince of Peace, and he's given me that peace.
So what tips do you give people who are suffering right now with anxiety or depression?
I absolutely say that one of the biggest things that you can do is seek encouragement and accountability from friends. Make a habit of meeting with a friend, like even if it's like once every 2 weeks. Be intentional about your friendships. Meet up for coffee, check in, and make sure it's like with at least like two friends or so. You don't want to just rely on one person. And of course, when you first wake up, this is something that is very, very difficult. Just a tip that I give people is when you first wake up, don't reach for your phone. Spend like the first 5 minutes bringing back to mind things that God has done in your life, you know, and thank him for it. Lord, thank you. You know, if you have children, thank you for my children. If you have a bed to sleep on, thank him for that bed. You can find, you know, 2, 3, 4, 15 things that you can thank God for. And as you do that, what happens is your body starts releasing a chemical called serotonin. Serotonin fights depression. And so right then and there, from a clinical perspective, as you're praising the Lord and thanking him, your body starts releasing a happy chemical that fights depression. And also from a spiritual perspective, the Bible says that God inhabits the praises of his people. And so from a spiritual perspective, you're inviting God's presence into just where you are. And the enemy hates an atmosphere where God is being glorified. So he's going to flee.
He's going to flee. Kim Zahadok, the three enemies of your mental health gain lasting victory over the devil, the flesh, and the world. How can people get your book?
They can go anywhere books are sold. It's available on Amazon, Audible, if they want to listen to it, Barnes & Noble, Walmart, Books A Million, anywhere.
Anywhere. And what if they want to contact you? What if this conversation is really intriguing and people say, wow, I need more help because I go to that slippery slope and I go through that depression, or my kids are suffering from this. What do you do?
Yeah, if they're wanting to contact a counselor, they're welcome to go to, it's the American Christian Counselors Association. If they are wanting to just look at resources that I have on the website, they're welcome to go to www.kenzahadok.com. It's my first and last name.com.
And that's KENZAHADDOCK.com. So, yes. Kenza, what about young people today? How can parents start working with their young people who might be really involved in social media and forgetting about that personal one-on-one social interaction?
Well, it definitely starts at home. One thing that I do with my children, and trust me, I'm far from perfect. It's just something that I learned in my training as a counselor, is to spend intentional time with my kids. So I try my best to do it every day, if not every day, every other day, is spending that intentional time with them, talking to them, not interrogating them, but talking to them about things they're interested in. Because a lot of times as parents, we tend to err on the side of discipline or focus on just, you know, making sure they're doing the right things. But are we getting to know those little minds, those little hearts, you know, those children that God has given us? And so we want to steward them just like you would, you know, nurture a plant that you have. You want to nurture their hearts and make sure you're speaking encouragement into their hearts so that they're not seeking it elsewhere.
And also, Our lives are so busy as moms, as grandmothers, as fathers, as grandfathers. We tend to be so busy. So our kids pick up that model from us too.
Absolutely. They do. So we become, I've called it before, and I believe I heard someone else say it. It's like we become human doings instead of human beings, right?
Human doings.
Right. It's like we tend to just do. But the reality is, I mean, even the gospel calls us to rest, right? I mean, Psalm 23 talks about he makes me lie down in green pasture. I mean, he makes us lie down. It should tell us something about ourselves. We must not like to lie down. We must like to just do. So
do. Yeah.
Yeah. The Lord calls us to rest.
Kinza Haddock has been my guest. This is Encounter, and I'm Judy Redlick. So glad that you joined us today, Kinza. Again, your book title, and how can people get it?
It is The Three Enemies of Your Mental Health, and it's available anywhere books are sold.
Three Enemies of Your Mental Health. Check it out, won't you? Kinza, thanks so much for being my guest, and thank you all for tuning in. See you next week on another edition of Encounter.
This has been Encounter with Judy Redlick, informing listeners on local Christian events and matters that affect your lives. Spread the word and invite people to listen to Encounter on KSIV or online at botradionetwork.com.
Check out more of Judy's interviews at judyredlick.com. That's JUDYREDLICH.com. Or email her at judyredlickspeaks@gmail.com. Friend her on Facebook, connect with her on LinkedIn. And if you want to learn how your business could be a sponsor on Judy Redlick's website, email her at jredlickspeaks@gmail.com.